Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the 10th of April. It is already, my gosh, we're going to be hitting the middle in like the end of this week. I know it sounds so obvious, but wow. And I just, today's show and yesterday's show, yesterday about being your own best friend, a lot of it has to do with shutting down what we're going to talk about today. Why do we think thoughts that take away from us? And that self-defeating thing that we do. And then we accept that voice in our head when it talks to us so disrespectfully that if you ever had to call anything a bully on the block, that would be the bully on the block. Would be that voice that's in your head that if anyone else ever said to you what it said, you would never talk to that person again. And yet somehow we have believed that we live in this little cubby and nobody knows that we think those thoughts. But it comes out. It comes out in your remarks. It comes out in the decisions you make. We can see each other's injuries so easily. How many times have we walked around saying, oh, this person can't admit that, whatever. Or every time it gets close to doing this. I had a close friend. And she was scared to drive. And so anything that entailed that, she couldn't do. After a while, because I never thought of anyone not driving, I realized, oh my God. You were scared to drive. Yes, I am. Why didn't you say anything? She didn't want to feel bad. But instead, she made herself feel bad. I don't drive. I'm too scared to drive. Everyone else can drive. I'm different. I'm not as good. Who said? Maybe that fear stemmed from something else. And maybe if we find that, you can. Maybe you really just don't want to. Maybe you got used to living the way you've lived for so long, but it's okay. There's a way at least to wrap your mind around it so that you don't take away from yourself over it. That little element of just forgiving yourself, replacing thoughts that take away from you with thoughts that build you. Like instead of saying, I never, you could say, I've chosen not to do this yet. Because when you say, I've chosen not to do this yet, what happens to your brain is you start looking at it as a choice, and then you start looking at what your other choices are. When you say, I never do this, well, never do this is huge, because that just shut the door, locked it, and you know the rest of that one, you threw away the key. Something about the way we talk to ourselves that changes. When you literally talk to yourself the way you would a best friend, like imagine that your best friend said to you, I am such an idiot. I never do anything right. What would you do? What would be the first thing you'd do? You say, well, why do you talk about yourself like that? And you normally hear your best friend normal, where she's just talking about other things. And but then when she talks about herself or he talks about himself, it's putting themselves down. You'd say, well, you're not an idiot. You do a lot of things great. You do this, you do that, you help people, you help yourself at times, but you're not now. What's going on? But what's going on is what they're saying isn't something they haven't said before. It's something that they're sharing with you, the inside. It happened to me once where I did that. I was upset. I thought the least educated place I was, and I think this is true for a lot of people, I don't know, but at least from the people I've helped, and I was really happy that I went through that gamut of feelings before. But my personality is it wants to help everybody, wants to take care of everybody. And I got hurt doing that, believe it or not. Because sometimes the people I wanted to take care of, that I wanted to help, I realized that's a two-way street. You better ask if someone needs your help. Don't just go jumping in. But that there was a last time that I learned a lesson in helping people. When you help people and you really do help them, like you really did get them out of wherever they were, and then you find out that they really didn't want the help. They didn't want to grow. They didn't know how to get away from this voice in their head. They would get really mad at me. They would lash out at me. All their anger got dumped at me. And it's happened to me 5 or 6 times before I said, this was way back before I took appointments. Now I'm not doing that anymore. I'll be doing the seminars. But before that, and that's what made me start to charge. Because that's how I would know that they had skin in the game, that they themselves wanted the help. That's how ingrained the thoughts that we think that take away from us are. And when I found that out, I thought, holy cow, sometimes we will defend those thoughts. We will prove you wrong that we are an idiot like we think we are when we are upset. And that blew me away. For some reason in my mind, I believed that everyone wants to be okay. And ultimately, we do. But the habit is what is hard to break. If it's gone on most of your life, you have to look at it as a habit and not necessarily how you feel. When you talk like that to yourself, I remember doing that. My little tape turned on and I was in for it. And there were even days where I liked having the tape go off and do that, because then I kind of just got to retreat and I had a reason not to talk to anybody, not even really myself other than that. And I'd sulk and I'd feel depressed and I would just not want to do very much. All of it. And then 2 or 3 days later, it would subside and I would be myself again. And then all of a sudden, I wanted to see people again. I was like, huh, thank God that's over, as though it were attacking me. And it was attacking me, but the trick was I let it. And then I would say, well, I'm not really that bad. Well, you know, I kind of like my life, and I would start to build myself out of it again. And it would happen every once in a while, especially if something happened to trigger it. Like, you know, I didn't get what I needed, or I was overlooked for something, or whatever it was. Not appreciated, especially helpers. You know, they like that. When you're not a helper and you mostly want other people to do things, it happens to you in the reverse. It happens in that nobody's done anything for you, so nobody loves you. For me, it's more a reaction to me not being appreciated, but everybody has something. So it's not like, well, there's givers and there's takers. It's our outlook. There's just different people. But it goes back to you, how you feel about yourself every day. And I'll tell you what I did, and it works. And it's such a simple little thought I had one day when that voice that takes me and throws me, knocks me on my butt shows up. I remember one day going, I don't need to think like this anymore. I don't even believe this anymore. Hey, you know what? I outgrew you. I actually outgrew this thought. It's just the habit of me letting this happen. It was like time for it to happen again. And then it kind of subsided. I like made it through that day. And I didn't, nothing eventful happened. All that happened was that I forgot about it. I just forgot about it. And any time it tried to come up the next day when I woke up and, I should have still been in that feeling by then. Now that would have been day two, because usually it took 2 or 3 days for me to get out of that quiet cocoon. I'd say, oh, wait a second, that's an old thought. That's not one of my new thoughts. One of my favorite lines of Maya Angelou was, once you know better, do better. But I started to see how much we know and how little we use what we know. And I see Francis wrote in the chat, does that tie into self-neglect, the voice in the head? I mean, easily. Why should I take care of myself? It doesn't matter if I do or if I don't. It's the same day anyway. Well, I could do it tomorrow. Well, maybe it's good for me. Let me think about it. And you're thinking about taking care of yourself. Emotionally, physically. There's something about talking back to yourself that creates an interaction with yourself. It's not just a monotone or one voice that just keeps coming at you. When you talk back and say, why do I talk to myself like that? Why do I think I did that in the past? Well, I always did it. Well, maybe not. Well, how far back can I think that I would do this to myself? Wow, well, I'm like, 40 now. That's been a long time. So, I have news for you guys. That voice that talks to you like that isn't even yours. I'm going to say that one more time. That voice that talks to you like that is not even yours. After I saw Christ, man, did that flip that one on its back. Your voice, your original voice, is love. The language, the things you think. When you're a baby and you're born, and all you do is laugh or cry. You cry when you're hungry and you laugh at everything else. And you sleep. When they say sleep like a baby, they're not kidding. that voice isn't even yours. It shows up and we just don't know where it came from, and then we think that it's our thoughts, but really it's the beginning of the duality of the, you know, negative and positive. And depending on how we feel about ourselves or about life, or we just think, oh, wow, why did I think that? There's so many children I worked with, not with people who've already taken that voice on and given it a space. But in that age where they lose that protection, that formative years between, it's not as young as 7, but more in the 12, 13, 14, where they start going through that adolescence and they want to crawl into a hole. That voice, when they start hearing it, some of them absorb it and live it to a greater extent than others, and that's where you see it the most. Because you will meet kids that you've seen as a child running around and playing, and then you'll see them as a teenager, and you'll go, oh, my gosh, why are they always wearing black, and what just happened to their face, and what did they do? Why don't they talk to anybody anymore, and they stay in the room all day, and, you know, they're, like, become very introspective. And some of them are unscathed. They don't even believe the voice. They're like, what the heck was that? And others fight it. They keep trying to be better than the voice tells them that they are. But that energy comes in and attacks. I know, you know, Thotic, my son, with his autism, he has a level of purity. Obviously, he doesn't know how to lie on the outside. But he also doesn't know how to lie on the inside to himself. So every time he has a thought that contradicts what he believes, which is different than the thought that attacks what he believes he's a good person, he believes he's happy, and then all of a sudden you have this thought that attacks you and tells you that you're not a good person, or you're not happy, or, well, you know, let's talk about this, and it's the one thing that's like obscure that has nothing to do with your life, and yet you put all your focus on it. It's really just your ego on steroids. It's just hitting. But when you talk back to it, which is something I taught him to do pretty early on, because with autism, it wouldn't go away. But that's all of us. The only thing with autism is that you can't deny, like, every day anything that attacks you. You have to talk back to it, because you don't have a storage spot for conceptual thought that you can believe and run away with these feelings and let them take you over. So you take a look, and when you talk back to the voice in your head, you start to see it as a voice in your head and not yours. Like, well, why do I feel bad about myself? Why would I say that about myself? That isn't very nice. Just things like that, easy things. The most beautiful thing about our soul, is that once we talk back to ourselves, that's what we feel. We feel that depth of ourselves. Like, wow, I can take care of myself. Oh, my God, that voice was so easy to talk back to. Why didn't I think I could before? Why didn't I think I could? Boy, I felt that coming, and I was trying to avoid it. Why didn't I think I could talk back to that voice before? You will be shocked at how beautiful it feels, how empowering it feels to know that that's something you can deal with. that you can face in your life every single day. And over time, and give yourself time, give yourself space to learn yourself, to grow with yourself, to laugh at yourself, because we're funny. If somebody were to show us a tape of what goes on in people's heads that they don't say, not what they do say, we would be shocked. We would be sadly shocked. We would be sadly shocked. We live in like this constant under the belly type feelings that take away from us. And we've accepted it for so long that we believe it's real. And when we talk to other people and we talk about things we fear, we have a crowd to talk to. And that's why. When we talk to people about how good we feel, at times people are like, wow, that's great for you. It's great for all of us. Sometimes we don't even know what to say when someone feels good. Oh, look at them. They're so happy. Well, no one just lands happy. That happiness, for the most part, is earned. Because you have to face the things that are hard for you so that you know the difference. And our souls are waiting for that day. All you have to do is learn to question those thoughts that take away from you. And you are, and I'm going to say this because it is so worth it. You are worth it. Your family deserves it. Because once you pay that kind of attention to yourself, when you see anyone else following the commands of the voice that doesn't work so well for us, you can see it. And when you can see it, you can tell them, hey, you know what? Are you kind of thinking things that maybe aren't good for you, that make you feel bad or worse than you feel now? Especially go to a teenager, they'll tell you because it's brand new to them. They're saying, you know, you can talk back to that voice. Ask yourself why you think that. Just ask yourself, why are you thinking that? Why do you think that you can't do what you want? Why don't you think you can do what you want? Why don't you think you can get that? Why not? What have you got to lose? You have a lot to lose if you listen to it, because it's going to stop you, because that voice isn't designed for you to live in its despair. That voice is designed for you to grow over it. It's like climbing a mountain. I remember when I heard there's a song by Miley Cyrus, believe it or not, called The Climb. And it's a beautiful voice and a beautiful sound when you hear her sing about the climb. Nothing's going to come easy to us or for us or because of us. What comes easy to us is when we know how to address ourselves. We learn everything. We learn how to do business. We learn a profession. We learn how to cook. We learn everything. And then one day we wake up and go, I don't know myself. My most frequently asked question in the beginning when I saw Christ was, why am I here? what is my purpose? What is all this for? There were times I had that question. Because it just lost its meaning. I get up and do the same thing every day. I remember thinking that before I saw Christ, but after I got divorced. And all I do is wake up, get my kids ready, send them to school, send myself to work. And then I realized I'm sending them to school so that they'll send themselves to work one day like I am. I don't have time to do the things I want to do. I want to take care of my family. I want to have time in my house. I want to cook for them. I want to nurture them. I want to take care of them. But I can't because I still have to be the provider, and there's only so many hours in the day. And all I do is go to work to take the money I make from there and give it to everybody else so that I can keep doing this. And the this that I'm doing is chasing my tail. And the voice in my head would say, well, you're divorced. And your husband wasn't very nice to you, and this is what you deserve. That's why you're doing this. And then I'd look at all the other moms who would drop off their kids and get to go back home and get to do this and get to do that and take care of their kids and be ready for them when they got home from school. And that little voice in my head says, well, too bad. You've got to work and do this and this and this. And then I thought one day to myself, hey, I get to leave with my children and understand that they have to leave the house for so long to be in school. And I get to come back with them, and we get to plan dinner together. And we get to clean the house together. And I started looking at it as a joint world with them instead of me servicing them. I started teaching them to take care of themselves. I started teaching them to be independent. And they grew up to be independent people because in my brain, I stopped the I feel sorry for myself voice. And I started telling myself, and then I saw, obviously I saw I had Christ, and I saw all this, and I knew all these things, and I knew that I was loved already, but it might not mean what I thought it meant. Being loved already doesn't mean that all your needs are met, and you're taken care of, and you're living this life, and you're flying high. It means that you have the tools to do the things you want to do, and you can take your reality and repurpose it into a purpose that works for you. That voice can be shut down at any time. Talk back to it. Decide what voice you want to hear in your head. And shut the door over time to the other voice by saying, hey, you know what? I don't need you. I used to. You used to serve a purpose. But you don't serve that purpose anymore for me. I want you to, but you don't. So thank you, but no thank you. How else can I look at this? And then look at it that way. It's so worth your time and effort. You guys, my time is up. I can't believe it. We're already, this show felt like 5 minutes, but thank you for listening today. Think about what you think about. Pay attention to paying attention. I love you so very much, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.